ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायण नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं अतो चयम् उदीरयेत् नस्तापरेषु अपात्रेषु नित्यं भगवत सेवया भगवते उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नास्तिके. So we read from Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, 23rd chapter, text 5. Because today is Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur appearance day, so I choose this verse here. Tava santashanat eva. Tava santashanat eva. Chinna me sarva samshayaha. Chinna me sarva samshayaha. Yat svayam bhagavan pritya. Yat svayam bhagavan pritya. Dharmam aha nirakshishoho. Dharmam aha nirakshishoho. Tava santashanat eva. Chinna me sarvasam shaya. Yat svayam bhagavan priya. Dharmam aha nirakshishaho. Tava sandarshana deva. Samshaya. Yat svayam bhagavan priya. Yakshishaho. Tava santashana deva. Tava santashana deva. Yat svayam bhagavan pritya. Atachis. Spoken by Manu, Svayambhu Manu, to Kadama Muni, the father of Srila Kapiladev. Now I have resolved all my doubts simply by meeting you, for your lordship has very kindly and clearly explained the duty of a king who desires to protect his subjects. Translation purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Manu described here with the result of seeing a great saintly person. Lord Chaitanya says that one should always try to associate with saintly persons, because if one establishes a proper association with a saintly person, even for a moment, one attains all perfection. Somehow or other, if one meets a saintly person and achieves his favor, then the entire mission of one's human life is fulfilled. In our personal experience, we have actual proof of this statement of Manu. Once we had the opportunity to meet Vishnupada Sri Srimad Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Goswami Maharaj. And on his first sight, or darshan, he requested this humble self to preach his message in the Western countries. There was no preparation for this, but somehow or other, he desired it, and by his grace, we are now engaged in executing his order, which has given us a transcendental occupation and has saved and liberated us from the occupation of material activities. Thus, it is actually a fact that if one meets a saintly person completely engaged in transcendental duties and achieves his favor, then one's life's mission becomes complete. What is not possible to achieve in thousands of lives can be achieved in one moment if there is an opportunity to meet a saintly person. It is therefore enjoined in Vedic literature that one should always try to associate with saintly persons and try to disassociate oneself from the common man, because by one word of a saintly person, one can be liberated from material entanglement. A saintly person has the power, because of his spiritual advancement, to give immediate liberation to the conditioned soul. Here Manu admits that all his doubts are now over, because Kardama has very kindly described the different duties of individual souls. Tavas and Arshana Deva, Chiname Sarva Samshayaha, Yatsvayam Bhagavan Pritya, Dharmam Aha, Prirakshishaho. Now I have resolved all my doubts simply by meeting you, for your lordship has very kindly and clearly explained the duty of a king who desires to protect his subjects. Omagyatim ranyas yaganachana salakyam chakshurum militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha mukham karoti vachalam pangum langayati garim yat kripatam mahamante shri gurum dina taranam paramananda madhavam krishna chaitanya ishvaram vanchakalpa drubhyasya kripa sindhu bevacha patitanam pamanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha jai shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasati Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So I first like to recite four prana mantras of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. Also, of you who can remember, you can also repeat. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Tinamine. I offer my respectful obeisances unto His Divine Grace, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati, who is very dear to Lord Krishna, having taken shelter at His lotus feet. Shri Vashapanavi Devi Daitaya Kripaptaye Krishna Sambandha Vikyana Daine Prabhave Namaha. Offer my respectful obeisances to Shri Vashapanavi Devi Daitya Das, not the name of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, that means initiation name, who is favored by Srimati Radharani, and who is the ocean of transcendental mercy and the deliverer of the signs of Krishna. Madhura Chvala Premadya Shri Rupa Anuga Bhaktida Shri Gora Karuna Shakti Vigrahaya Namostute. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, the personified energy of Sri Chaitanya's mercy, who delivers devotional service which is enriched with conjugal love of Radha Krishna, coming exactly in the line of revelation of Srila Rupa Goswami. Namaste Goravani Shimurtaye Dinatharine Rupanuga Viruta Abhisiddhanta Tvanta Harine. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, who are the personified teachings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You are the deliverer of the fallen souls. You do not tolerate any statement which is against the teachings of devotional service enunciated by Srila Rupa Goswami. So once when Srila Prabhupada was asked to speak about Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he told, "What can I say about him? Because he's a Vaikuntha man." So it's very very difficult to describe Nityasiddha devotee, an eternal associate of the Supreme Lord. His characteristics, his pastimes, his deeds, his qualities, his appearance, his whole mission, and also the deepness of his personality. It's very difficult to describe. It's very difficult. So I feel very unqualified to speak about Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. So therefore, I only with the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, and all the present Vaishnavas, I maybe can tell a few words according to my realization or understanding from Srila Prabhupada's books and from Prabhupada's words. So, Srila Prabhupada, he gave a lecture about Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur on his appearance day, Vyasa Puja, where he gave a little biography about Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, his Guru Maharaj. So from there we know that he was one of the sons of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was a magistrate in the Jagannath temple in Jagannath Puri, so he had great influence. But he was a great devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He was very concerned. He was so merciful, so compassionate to deliver the conditioned souls in the world, that he wanted to do some benefit for them. So in the beginning it was not easy for him, for Bhaktivinoda Thakur, to find proper scriptures at that time describing about Lord Chaitanya's life. At that time, Chaitanya Vaishnavism, Lord Chaitanya's mission to spread Krishna consciousness in every town and village, was in bad shape. Because impersonalists who misinterpreted the words of Lord Chaitanya and the words of Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, and also some sahajya tendencies, sampradayas, upper sampradayas. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he mentioned 13 in number. As minimum 13 were existing at that time, main ones, who concocted Lord Chaitanya's teachings and made it very sentimental and very mundane. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was very much concerned how to re-establish again Lord Chaitanya's teachings, who became so much down, watered down, and got a bad name, a bad reputation because of wrong behavior of the so-called Chaitanya Vaishnavas or followers of Lord Chaitanya in that time. So by good fortune, he found Bhagavad Gita, because at that time was no BBT, there was not a book production. Even that time, 100 years ago, it was very difficult to find proper Vaishnava literature, like Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. It was a very, very difficult task. Only by incident, because of his great urge of searching for these literatures, he found a copy of Bhagavatam, and ultimately, even more difficult to find Chaitanya Charitamrita. Then when he found that, Bhaktivinoda Thakur became more and more convinced about Lord Chaitanya's mission because of Kaviraj Goswami's wonderful presentation of Chaitanya Charitamrita. So he became very much absorbed more and more in Lord Chaitanya's teachings, and also wrote many, many books. But he also was concerned about the continuation of his mission. That's very important. A mission always has to be continued by successor who is qualified, who will not ruin everything again and spoil it. What the Acharya established. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was very humble Vaishnava, although he was in very high position, but he chose that Vaishnava, even he's in high position, even by the British government, he was very much respected. He kept himself always very humble, and he always prayed to the Lord, "Please give me a son who will be empowered to spread Lord Chaitanya's teachings. Please send me a son, a ray of Vishnu." So he had this great desire. So he had 10 sons, or 10 children, or even more. And the fourth one became known as Bimala Prasad. So the Thakur, he was very happy to see all the signs of a great personality in the characteristics of that boy. Also horoscope was very nice. So that's always what one looks after, you know, the personality, the horoscope. And also his umbilical cord of the boy was around his, like a Brahman thread around his body. So that they gave him already a hint, you know, that this personality will be very special. It is the person that he was praying for. So he named him Bimala Prasad. Because in Jagannath Puri, Bimala, the goddess, is very important. She's representing Radharani in the form of Durga in the temple of Lord Jagannath. That means all the prasadam, that means all the boga of the 56 offerings given offered to Lord Jagannath, is after that offering is offered to Bimala, the Devi goddess in the temple, who is situated there on the side behind the temple altar. And after that prasad of Lord Jagannath is offered to Bimala Devi, then it becomes Mahaprasad. Only then that prasad, Mahaprasad, is distributed. So that's therefore very significant, Bimala Prasad. That means the Mahaprasad, the great mercy, the great, great mercy of the Lord. And of Radharani, who is represented in Jagannath Puri by Bimala Devi.
So his name is not Bimal Prasad, it's Bimala. Bimala means the goddess Bimala. So in this way, the Thakur Bhaktinod, he became very much happy. He had many other good sons who also were devotees. His whole family were Vaishnavas. But on a certain day when there was Ratha Yatra, the cart sometimes stops. Because Lord Jagannath is the director where he stops and when the car should drive. It's not the Gaudas, those who are pulling it, the servants, the people, the general mass of people. We think we are pulling it. But sometimes thousands of people could pull, but they could not move an inch, not even a millimeter. So, out of unknown reason, the car stopped. Due to Lord's mercy. Because of the Lord's will. In front of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's house. He's directly in the center. Almost in the middle of the center of the main road. Where Lord Jagannath goes along on the Ratha cart. So he stopped directly in front of that house. At that time, many, many people used devotees and locals that tried to climb up on the cart, using opportunity to get the prasad, mercy of Lord Jagannath. So at that time, the mother of Bimala Prasad, Bhagavati, and the wife of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, she thought, oh, I will bring my son before Lord Jagannath and offer him to his lotus feet. And because she was a respectable lady, the wife of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, everyone gave her a path to go there, because so much crowded, difficult to go there, so many people. So she went there. And at that moment, you know, when she offered the baby to Lord Jagannath's lotus feet, a garland dropped down. Flower garland of Lord Jagannath. And that was another proof for Thakur Bhaktivinoda when he understood, oh, Lord Jagannath gave a sign. He stopped in front of my house and offered my son the garland. So, and the garland, as we know from Srila Kaviraj Goswami, Chaitanya Chaitamrita, he offered his obeisances to Madana Mohan, Radha Madana Mohan, in the temple, because he felt himself very helpless, very unqualified to write biography of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he thought, I have to get all the blessings of the Vaishnava. Although Vaishnavas asked me, the senior Vaishnavas, to write this book, it was not his own idea or his own invention to become famous author. So he thought, senior Vaishnavas are requesting me to write a book about Lord Chaitanya, but I'm not qualified. So I have to go to the Lord to get his approval, his blessings. So he went to Radha Madan Mohan and asked for blessings. And that time also garland drops down from the Lord, from Madan Mohan. So, and all the Vaishnavas very happy, very joyful. They were not envious. Vaishnavas are never envious. They become joyful if an other Vaishnava becomes blessed by the Lord and recognized by the Lord. So, in this way, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, Bimala Prasad, he got the mercy, that means Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he got the improvement, the sign of the Lord, yes, that's your son you were praying for, the Shaktya Avish, some empowered personality who will continue to spread Lord Chaitanya's teaching far and wide as you desire. And because Bhaktivinoda Thakur desired, and because Bhaktivinoda Thakur he desired, because he had this desire from his previous acharyas or guru and parampara, ultimately from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda. So in this way, this family succession, parampara, Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, coming down from Brahma to Madhava, Vyasa, Narada, Madhava, and ultimately to Madhavendra Puri, Ishvara Puri, then to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then from him, the next Swarup Damodar Goswami, then the six Goswamis, Rupa Sanatana, Raghunath Das Goswami, like that. Then next ones, Kaviraj Goswami, Narottam Das Thakur, like that. So in this way, the succession went on of family. It's not family line of simial, but of parampara of instruction, shiksha. So Gaudiya Vaishnavas are shiksha parampara, that means coming from the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead from one person to another. So in this way, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he became connected with that sampradaya through Jagannath Das Babaji and Gorkishore Das Babaji, his very dear friend, and Siddha Baba, great devotee, Paramahamsa, both of them. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he desired the son for succeeding, because there was nobody around in that time after him, younger generation, whom he could see, who could continue with spreading Krishna consciousness straight, without compromise. So Srila Prabhupada also further describes in that lecture how strict Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati was already when he was a boy. He was just a few years old, and one time without permission, without asking parents, he ate a mango. And this mango was boga. It was not offered to the Lord. So his father, he reprimanded him. He chastised him. Oh, my son, you ate boga, food that was not offered to the Lord, to the deity. So that's not very nice. For a child, there is no sin at that point. Responsibility of a child only takes place later, when he is about 12, 14 years old. Then karma, he becomes responsible. But with 3, 4, 5 years, there's no responsibility. But still, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, when he heard that he made an offense, that he ate boga, foodstuffs that was not offered to the Lord, he took a vow. He took a vow for his whole life, I will never eat mango anymore. And even when he was acharya, many admirers and devotees, they brought him mango. Mahaprasad, mango even. And he offered his respect to the mango on the top, but I cannot eat, you know, because I took a vow that I will never eat mango, because I broke one time, and I was a small boy, this rule of only eating prasadam. That's the vow he took. So he was very strict, he was very, very determined in his vows, his whole life. He was Naishtika Brahmachari. That means he never married, he never had any desire even in his mind for sexual intercourse. In no way, in Naishtika Brahmachari, pure. Of course, Naishtika Brahmachari itself doesn't make you a devotee. Purity doesn't make you the devotee. Naishtika and purity leads you to higher planets. Siddha Loka, Brahma Loka, and maybe liberation. But it will not make you devotee. It's not automatically a pure devotee. But still, a devotee has to have the purity and a certain discipline of self-control, mind control. And that is what the devotee followers of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Maharaj follow very sternly, very seriously, to follow this line given by Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati. We are Sarasvati followers. Because he followed Rupa Goswami, who described Ihayasya Hayadasya Kamana Manaso Gira Nikhilapya Vasasu Jiva Mukta Suchate. He is a liberated soul who engages his body, mind, and words in Krishna service, in Bhakti Yoga. So, not just to be a celibate or a pure person or a nice person, a dharmic person. That's not impressing to Krishna. But if this control is there, sadhana, of try to control mind and senses and engage by engaging them in Krishna service with love and devotion, with bhakti, then Krishna will respond. He will become very happy. He reveals himself. He empowers such a person. So such a person becomes instrumental of the Lord. The Lord gives himself to the devotee who gives his whole life, mind, body, senses, possessions, words, everything in his service to glorify him and to engage in his glorious devotional service. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur was very strict in his vows, his whole life. And although he was a very great genius, he could speak the whole Bhagavad Gita or know the whole Bhagavad Gita by heart when he was 7 years old. He has such a good memory. He also became a teacher later on, a professor of Surya Siddhanta, an astronomical book. He made his own purpose to it, his whole presentation. But although he had this great learnedness, this great education and ability of intelligence and absorption in knowledge, he kept himself always very humble. Although outside he looked very bold, like a Singha, like a lion. They even called him Singha Guru, the lion-like guru. Because he was very bold, very direct, chastising sometimes some Sahachyas or Appa Sampradaya leader, guru, or a Mayavadi. And he also liked, he was very much happy when one of his disciples did the same. Of course, sometimes one has to imitate, careful to imitate guru in his boldness. Because sometimes one gets then in trouble and then one is not ready. One doesn't have the strength and the knowledge of an uttamadhikari how to counteract the accusation or the counter effect of an agitation. So one has to be a little careful. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, although he was very bold, very direct and challenging, he was in the same time very, very humble. And when the when he had the time of his initiation, that he should choose Spiritual Master Bhaktivinoda Thakur, his father told him, you should go to Gorky Shodas Babaji. And interesting, he was an illiterate. So-called, externally he was illiterate, although he knew so much. Because he was a self-realized personality. So all the Vedic knowledge was in him, without learning, without reading any books. So it was revealed to him. He represented that in fully. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he knew about that great personality, Gorky Shodas Babaji. And he requested his son, Bimala Prasad, you go to him. You should take shelter of him and accept initiation. So what he did? First attempt was not successful because this great devotee, Gorky Shodas Babaji, was very, very humble. He thought, how I can accept you? You are such a great learned person. I'm illiterate. You're the son of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and how I can do that? But Bimala Prasad, he was urging him and requesting him, please, 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 you know. But still, he thought, oh, I have to consider it, have to think about it, come again later. And then only after the second attempt, when Bimala Prasad came home and Bhaktivinoda Thakur asked him, so, you're initiated? He said, no. He didn't accept me. I should come, but he told you, you should come on, I should come again, later again. I will ask Krishna, or Lord Chaitanya, actually Lord Chaitanya. I ask Lord Chaitanya, Gauranga Mahaprabhu, if I should accept. Because that time, actually the Vaishnavas in general, they're not eager to initiate, to become guru, because they all consider themselves dasa dasa anudasa. I'm the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna's servant. Nobody should be eager. Actually, a real Vaishnava is never eager to accept disciples. There's even a statement I want to read from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati about this point. So he says, only the person Lord Krishna sent us, the Spiritual Master, will manifest before us as our Guru. By the Lord's mercy, we attain a Spiritual Master, and by the Spiritual Master's mercy, we attain Krishna. We are given a Spiritual Master according to our fortune, good fortune. Different people have different mentalities. And the omniscient Lord sends each an appropriate spiritual master. There are those who desire the Lord's non-duplicitous mercy and who completely depend on Him for their success. These souls please the Lord with their simple sincerity. To bestow His mercy upon them, He appears before them personally. To those who want something else from the Lord, who are not actually aspiring for His complete mercy, the Lord sends through His illusory energy a spiritual master appropriate to their mentality. A sincere person never faces difficulty, but quickly finds a bona fide guru. So, in the one sense, he understands guru is very important, but then next, he says, unless we are pure devotees or liberated souls, we should not make disciples. Instead, we should first become disciples ourselves by taking shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. We should then hear Harikatha or Krishna Katha from such a guru's mouth and follow the instructions in practice and humility.
While glorifying those instructions, we should then become gurus, trying to remain forever insignificant. Trying to become guru means always internally remain forever insignificant on some pretext amounts to self-deceit. To become guru means to become a devotee of Krishna and to remain constantly engaged in the Lord's service with all our senses. There are no hard and fast rules that tell us we must make disciples. But if the Lord desires it, then a pure devotee will give instructions for others' benefit. Such pure devotees are not selfishly motivated. Rather, their main purpose is to make the insignificant great, to make the godless inclined towards the Lord, and to make each person a devotee of Krishna. And then he continues, those who think themselves Vaishnavas are not Vaishnavas. Those who think themselves gurus or great personalities are not qualified to become gurus. Those who consider themselves disciples of a disciple are qualified to become spiritual masters. Only one who has unflinching faith in the Supreme Lord and the spiritual master is able to act as a guru. However, learned or thoughtful a person may be, until he takes shelter of an acharya whose qualities personally personify Vaishnava philosophy, he cannot understand Vaishnavism. The Bhagavad Gita states that viti pranipatena pariprasena sevaya upadekshanti degyanam gyaninas tatvadashina. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master, inquire from him submissively, and render service unto him. The self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. We can understand the Vaishnava philosophy if we possess three specific qualities. Non-conditional surrender, honest inquiry, and a serving temperament. Service attitude. The teachers of Vaishnava philosophy instruct those who approach an acharya to render these three qualities as dakshina, that means as a donation. The acharyas are not tempted by mundane dakshinas or Lakshmi. They like to see in their disciples three specific items: unconditional surrender, a honest inquiry, and a service temperament, service attitude. Tat vidhi pranipatena pariparshena sevaya upadekshanti degyana gyaninas tatvadashana. That's contained in that verse by Krishna, spoken by Lord Krishna in the Gita. So, therefore, we can see in Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur's own life, and also by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. One must take a spiritual master, but a Vaishnava naturally is not inclined to accept disciples in great numbers unless the Lord is arranging it for him. He's not eager for his own support or name, fame, and glory to accumulate disciples. So therefore, the Vaishnavas, they're not eager to accept disciples, they're more eager to serve. To serve their guru, and the Vaishnavas, and engaging in the humble service of the spiritual master, or the servant of the spiritual master. This is perfect. This is how one becomes recognized by the Lord himself. So the Vaishnava is not eager, but still one has to attempt to try to find out bona fide spiritual master and take shelter.
and ask serious questions, relevant questions, not about eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, general questions. For that we don't need guru. The guru is approached because of sincere inquiry and service attitude. So by these three qualities, if a disciple has these three qualities, then the Lord Chaitanya, who is in everyone's heart, who is especially in the heart of a Vaishnava, he is Krishna, he is Radha Krishna, Gora Krishna. He is inspiring that person to accept ultimately. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was very determined. My son, you have to have guru. I want that you become initiated. And only by Gorkishore Das Babaji. If you are not initiated by him, I don't want to see you anymore. Don't come home anymore. And that gave, and that instruction of his father, Shiksha, fired Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati up, to fully take shelter in Gorkishore Das Babaji. Put all everything away, and he told, if you don't accept me, my life is useless. I will give up. I will give up my life. I will drown myself in the Ganga, like that. So he was very determined. Although his guru, he tested him and he told him, I'm not qualified. I forgot to ask Lord Chaitanya, and became even a little upset, and he thought, don't cheat me, don't trick me. I know you're the servant of a great trickster, Krishna, so you're his servant, and you are also maybe will become like him, but please don't trick me, I'm very serious, my life is useless, I will give up my life immediately if he will not accept me. And then when Gorkishore Das Babaji, he saw this great humility and determination and surrender, full surrender, even ready to give up his life, even ready to challenge him, so he accepted him. I think even as his only disciple. Only had one or two or a handful of disciples. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur again, he became very satisfied ultimately when he heard his son finally, he got the initiation. So he became known as Vashanaba Devi Daitya. Vashabhani Devi, Rishabhanu Devi, that means the daughter of Rishabhanu, Radharani, Daita. Daita means somebody who gets special mercy, special grace of Radharani. He's Radharani's devotee. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, he even told, one time when he was, I think in Radhakund, on Parikrama, he told, we are not Vaishnavas, we are not Krishna devotees, we are Sudashaktas. Sudashaktas, that means we are pure devotees, followers of Radharani. Because without Radharani, without her mercy, we cannot achieve anything. And although Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati was in Radhakund, it's also a very important lesson. He was in Parikrama with some with some followers, many sannyasis also. It was in 1932. 1932, he was in Parikrama in Radhakund, and in Braj Parikrama. And he And he told, you know, we are not inclined, you know, to reside on Radhakund. Srila Bhakti no Thakur, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, their eternal associates of Radha and Krishna, followers of Radharani, they're fit to stay at Radhakund. But we consider ourselves as humble servants of these great parishads of Radha Krishna. So therefore, we should not directly sit there where our great personalities sit forever in their Nitya Seva. And therefore, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur told, I'm not qualified to live here at Radhakund. And therefore, he always set his quarters outside of Radhakund at Govardhan or other places where they put their tents. So he always kept his humble attitude of respect, deepest respect to his own guru and gurus and previous acharyas who were eternal associates of the Lord. He didn't thought, although he had already many followers, he didn't thought, I'm qualified now also to mingle with them and become one of them. So, although he was one of them, but he kept very humble, very meek and humble, and respectful distance. So that was his great determination. He was also very, very determined because he knew my father told me I have to make an institution. An organized institution, because Gaudiya Vaishnavism was not organized at that time. There are so many different upper sampradayas, and nobody was really sincere. It was not in organized way. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he decided to organize Sankirtan, the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya, so that the whole world can follow and get benefited by following the rules of sadhana given by Lord Chaitanya, not just become sentimentalist and neglect the philosophy. So first we have to follow philosophy, we have to follow Vaidhi Mark. Although this cannot attain, we cannot reach Krishna in that, but it gives us a beginning and a foundation. And without that, we have no chance, you know, to get the mercy ultimately of Ladini Shakti from the internal energy, Bhakti Devi, to become elevated to pure devotional service in Raga Mark. Not possible. No. But we should also not think just Vaidhi Bhakti will lead to Raga or to Radhi. It's also not possible. That would show, you know, that this is actually an elevating process, but it is not. Bhakti is coming down to us. It gives us, it elevates us by the mercy. Therefore, only by the mercy, by kripa, one can become elevated like an escalator. But we can show our sincere attitude, service attitude, to the spiritual master or to the spiritual master's instructions. In a service attitude, in a humble mood, receiving it, and always keep these worshipable instructions on our head, and never forget it at any time. Even if one has many followers, even when one has big position, we should never forget our original position. I'm the servant of the servant of the servant. Dasa dasa anudasa. Of Krishna's dear servants. We are never the masters. And we are never the enjoyers. Like we also hear Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati, whenever he took darshan of the deity, he never wore glasses, spectacles. That means he put his glasses off So if I put the glasses off, I don't see so much nice, all the faces in front of me. I don't see the deity. So somebody asked Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, why you don't wear glasses? Because you're that you can see the Lord better. So he told, you know, darshan means not that I have to see the Lord. I'm not the enjoyer. The Lord wants to see me. He wants to see not my external. He wants to see my internal. He wants to see my heart, my devotion, my love to Him. This He wants to see, and this is not an external factor. It's not an external process. So therefore, darshan means like in the when everything is dark, we cannot see. Even if you have good glasses. But if the sun rises, then automatically by the sunshine, we can also see everything around us. So that means without Krishna seeing us first, that darshan means that Krishna sees us first, we cannot see at all. We cannot see at all because we live in darkness. We live in tama, in ignorance. Omagyatimaranyasya genanchana salakyam chakshur unmilitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. If only by the merciful light of Krishna and also Guru, ultimately, we can see. Krishna also says, tesham eva nukham pantam nashayam yatma bhavasto jnana dipena bhasvataha. Tesham evanu kampardam ahamma jnana jamtama nashayami atma bhavasto jnana dipena basvataha. Lord mercifully, because he's outside of us on the altar, he's also within the heart. If he sees a devotee is sincere in his devotional service attitude to his Guru Maharaj, then the Lord gives him light, sheds the light, so that the devotee can understand him. Otherwise, we can search and search and search and search after the truth, after the Lord. We can never find. Prabhupada mentions in the purport, even for 10,000 lifetimes, we can search. Or we can try to see the Lord and understand the Lord. It's not possible. Only by service attitude, by hearing respectfully, submissively, in front of the spiritual master, the Vaishnavas, asking nice questions, relevant questions, in a service attitude, also to apply it in your life, then the Lord mercifully reveals himself. Srila Prabhupada also describes about his own encounter with his Guru Maharaj in 1922. At that time he told, I was a follower of Gandhi. I was convinced India has to become independent. We cannot be free and follow our dharma, our religion, Hindu religion or Vaishnava religion, without being free from the foreigners' command and management. So, but he had one very good friend, Naren Mulik, from his family, a friend, Mulik family. So, Naren. So Naren, he met one time Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur in Kolkata, one of the first temple there in Kolkata. He also met him, he actually met him there because he came from Mayapur. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, before he introduced, or how say, founded the Gaudiya Math, he performed for 9 years Namavrata, chanting the holy name, 1 billion mantras, 1 billion, That means for 9 years, every day, 3 lakhs of chanting holy name. Because he knew without the mercy of the holy name, I cannot become instrumental. And he lived very austere. He lived only in a little grass hut, straw hut. And these had even holes in it. Sometimes when rainy season was, he had to put an umbrella there. He didn't fix the roof. And he was very, very renounced, very ascetic. But in the service attitude, not to get population, name, fame, for the service attitude. So he followed these strict rules of tapasya. And chanting the holy name, Namavrata, for 1 billion names, mantras. So then he, and then after that, he wanted to follow the instruction of his departed father, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who gave him the last instructions. You should print books, you should write books, you should make commentaries on Vaishnava books, and the very important ones from our Goswamis and Bhagavat and Chaitanya Charitamrita, like that, Chaitanya Bhagavat. That's your main mission, to write and produce Vaishnava literatures and establish Mayapur, Navadvitam Parikrama, and Daiva Varnashram, because in this way, his father told him in his letter, the glories of Lord Chaitanya will spread all over the world. And Thakur's prophecy that the time will come when the Germans and the Russians and the English will come together in Bengal, in Mayapur, to chant Gaura Hari's name, Lord Chaitanya's name, will become true. When that day will come. So that was Bhaktivinoda Thakur's great aspiration, desire, his greed he was praying for. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, he followed all these guidelines, last guidelines of his father, whom he accepted as Shiksha Guru, as his Shiksha Guru, to apply it in his mission of Gaudiya Math. So he founded the Gaudiya Math, and he established one printing press after another, four printing presses, and it printed books in different languages, in English, in Bengali, in Hindi, in Assam, in other languages, in so many other languages, magazines and journals. One time somebody asked him, oh, you're producing this journal fortnightly, that means every 2 weeks journal will come out, Nadia Prakash. It's a Bengali journal about Vaishnavism, about Lord Chaitanya's philosophy. So he asked him, could you also bring this out like a newspaper in the future, maybe, every day? And Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati convincingly told him, yes, why not? Because in Calcutta, we have at that time 6-7 newspapers. And this is only one town in India. And there are so many towns, and everyone has their newspapers. And this whole world, this whole planet is only a little insignificant one in the whole universe. And this whole universe is like mustard seeds in a big bag in comparison with the spiritual world, with the Paravyoma, with Goloka, with Krishna's own planet. It's insignificant. So we cannot only print a magazine or journal every day. We can print it every moment. Every moment we have news about the activities of Krishna and the spiritual activities in relation with him. They're eternal. There's no non-ending. So So 1922, when Bhaktisiddhanta, after he founded the first Gaudiya Math in Calcutta, and also Chaitanya Math in Mayapur, actually that's the first one, and then in Calcutta. So he came there, and this Narendra, the friend of Prabhupada, he brought him there. But Prabhupada was skeptical, he told, because I was a follower of Gandhi, in my father's home I met many sadhus who were not very much sadhu-like. They were more like behaving like beggars. So first I thought he's just another beggar. He's just some other cheap sadhu. So I hesitated to go. But my friend, he pulled me. And literally, he pulled me to see this Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati. And when he saw him immediately, he was very much impressed. He was impressed about his appearance and his words. Although Prabhupada, first he was a little challenging, he told. I challenged him, you know, what is the use of your teachings of Lord Chaitanya? Who will listen to this message? We have to be independent first. But then Prabhupada proudly announced, but then my Guru Maharaj, he defeated me. He told me, you know, we in India, we are not dependent on Swarat or not Swarat, dependent or independent. Doesn't matter, because Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement is transcendental. It has nothing to do to be with liberated or to be free. Everyone at any time can take up this process. That's because Lord Chaitanya is most merciful incarnation of the Lord. So, and he was not narrow-minded. He didn't only want to deliver Nadia or Bengal or his own home place, Nadia, Mayapur or Navadip. He wanted to deliver not only India, he wanted to deliver the whole world, to bring them, to make them happy with Krishna consciousness, and giving them the holy name and the process of devotional service without false motivation. So that was Lord Chaitanya's great gift, his great mercy, and we are followers of Lord Chaitanya, and therefore I request you, at that time, I request you, please take up this mission and spread it to the English-speaking world. And Srila Prabhupada, at that time, he thought, I just got married, I have a son, not even one year old. I cannot join the mission, I cannot accept initiation immediately, but I accepted him in my heart. I accepted this person in my heart, because I was very impressed. He convinced me, he defeated me. My argument, and I was always a leader. I was therefore my friends always follow me, whatever I decided or what I told, they accepted immediately as a fact. And therefore they wanted to bring me there to this great sadhu, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, to confirm that he is this great personality, Lord Chaitanya's great devotee, who is able to spread the Sankirtan of Lord Chaitanya, the holy name, and bhakti process everywhere. So I had to be convinced. Because when Prabhupada became convinced, all others were also convinced. So they accepted Prabhupada's decision. So Prabhupada, although he could not immediately accept the initiation, but then he told, I accepted his instruction in the heart from that moment on where I met him first time, and I never forget. I never forget that instruction, so I kept it with me all the time. although I was not physically, externally able to fully serve my Guru Maharaj in his mission. That was fulfilled only later on. In 1932, Prabhupada went to Vrindavan because he was at that time and he had his chemical business in Allahabad, and he heard from the Gaudiya Math in Allahabad that now Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur has parikrama in Vrindavan. It was in 1932. So Prabhupada thought, oh, I will use my opportunity now to meet him second time. And there he met his Guru Maharaj second time. And then the year after, in the year 35, that's actually short before his Guru Maharaj Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur left the world or this planet, he again visited him at Radhakund, at Parikrama there. He gave lectures about Upadeshamrita, about Rupa Goswami's 11 instructions. And Prabhupada, he got darshan of him, and there, confidentially, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Maharaj told him, you have to understand this is an instruction given according to the time and place, that there is a quarrel in Calcutta from the senior sannyasis about who can occupy which room. And about certain things, external issues. So Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati was not so satisfied. He was very upset, and therefore he told Prabhupada, he gave him instruction, there will be fire in Gaudiya Math, and because of that, so I would like to sell the marble of the temple and bring books out of it from the money acquired. So there was, it's not that he's against the temple. He was at that time upset about the situation, what had happened with the temple. So there's need of temple, but at the same time, more important than temple is the Bhagavat Mark. That means to preach and to spread the philosophy of Lord Chaitanya and our parampara to whoever we go and whoever we meet. So therefore we need temple and in the same time also the mission, and the mission is more important in this age. But he told Prabhupada, whenever you get some money, you should bring books. Don't make temple immediately. Temple will come later on, but first books. Books are the basis. Without books, we cannot build up temple. So first we have to print books and distribute them, and then naturally people become inclined, they become curious, and then we need a place. Then the temple becomes very natural, because the people want to have a place where they can come and learn and hear about Krishna and about devotional service to Krishna in the association of devotees, to associate with devotees. Then temple is a very good place. If it only becomes a place for eating, sleeping, it's not good, it's not favorable. But because it becomes becomes favorable for devotional service, then that is accepted. So in that also Prabhupada followed that mood, that instruction of his Guru Maharaj. He accepted initiation in 1933 in Allahabad, and Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati was there. And in 1935, he got his instruction to again preach and print books. And then in 1936, short before Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati left from this world, he wrote a letter to Srila Prabhupada again with the same instruction. Now, please preach this Krishna consciousness, Lord Chaitanya's teachings to the English-speaking world. So that was confirmed 3 times at least. And Srila Prabhupada, therefore, he accepted this mission, actually since the very beginning. But then he wanted to realize it by really manifest this mission, expanding this mission abroad of India. So therefore, on the power of his Guru Maharaj's instruction, he came to the West, he came to America, and went to so many places. And he always gave the credit to his Guru Maharaj. He told, he sent me all your young boys and girls to assist me in his mission. Prabhupada never considered this is my mission. It was actually his Guru Maharaj's, Lord Chaitanya's mission. So one can only become instrumental. And if it becomes instrumental by following the instruction and understanding the Guru's instructions and words, then one's life becomes successful. Then one will become empowered and one can do wonderful things. So, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur Maharaj ki. Hare Krishna. Thank you. So, any question maybe? Or comments? Okay. Hi.